Hi, I'm Rob Brown, and I'm your host of this Accounting Influencers podcast. Every week, you get interviews and insights from leaders and influencers globally about growth, leadership, talent, succession, tech, performance, and those special things that make the good accountants and accounting firms great. Enjoy today's episode, and let's get started.
Hi, welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have me today, one of my old friends, Mark Wickersham. Mark, for people that haven't come across you, just give us a little intro so we know what your areas of expertise are and what you're really passionate about.
Yeah, sure. So I am an accountant from the UK, been an accountant for over 30 years now, 1988, ran my own accounting firm for a while, made a complete mess of it in the 1990s because I didn't understand so many things. But the thing I first started discovering was the power of value pricing back in 1999, transformed my accounting firm, the results. I then sold it in a management buyout, then worked with Steve Pipe and ran AVN. We did that for about a decade or so. I then became passionate about value pricing. That was a thing that really drove me. I wrote a number of books on it. I founded the Value Pricing Academy, and I teach accountants and bookkeepers all around the world, predominantly value pricing, but actually a number of other things as well. Basically, anything that helps people build a more successful, more profitable and enjoyable accounting firm.
Sure. We know how sensitive accountants are to the pricing conversation. How much has it changed, if at all, in COVID time?
I think not at all. At least the way that we should be pricing shouldn't change. Yes. I know that there has been a lot of profession, a lot of accountants, bookkeepers I speak to, things that I see on social channels, in Facebook groups, people wondering whether or not they should discount their prices, reduce their prices because of COVID. And my advice has always been this, is that you should price based on the value that you deliver. COVID is just another tough time we've had. We've had recessions before and tough times. And the reality is some clients do better in tough times. I've come across a number of businesses and a number of accounting firms that have had their best year in the last year or so. Certainly that applies to me as well. And so not everybody struggles. Why give discounts? Why crash and burn our price? Our focus in tough times should be on what more can we do to help our clients through these tough times? How much more value can we add? Because when times are tough, we can add more value. And when we do that, we can charge higher prices, not lower prices. So our approach to pricing shouldn't change with the state of the economy, with pandemics. Our approach should always be, let's add value to our clients first and foremost, and then let's price according to that value we create.
Yeah, that does make sense. And I'm fond of the quote, price is only ever an objection in the absence of value.
Absolutely. That's a great one.
Yeah. So Mark, we should be pricing the same way, but are we having the pricing conversation in the same way? We're not meeting face to face. We're doing a lot of things on Zoom and by videos on the phone and often by text. Has that changed at all? Because it's a sensitive conversation, isn't it?
It is. And yes, it has changed, or at least it should change the way we do it. Lots of people hate the pricing conversation. We fear it. We fear the rejection. We fear the reaction of, ouch, that's a bit expensive. And so we do whatever we can to put it off. So back in the late 90s, when I was running my accounting firm, I would meet with prospective clients and clients. I would add value in those meetings. I'd give them ideas for how to save tax. And those meetings always went really well, up until the point the prospective client said to me, so Mark, this is awesome. I've never had this sort of advice and help from my existing accountant. How much will it cost to hire you? And I would freeze. I'd panic. I had no idea. So I'd say, let me go and think about it. I'll send you a proposal through the post. We had the post back in those days. These days, I guess it's email. And there's a big problem with that, because we send out our emails, our proposals, our fixed price agreements, and then we sit there with our fingers crossed, hoping that at some point the client will ring back and say, yep, let's get started. And very often that doesn't happen. And the reason for that is because when we communicate our price in writing, and it's the same when any of us get a quote from anybody, whether it's the landscape gardener, the painter and decorator, when we get a quote or a proposal, the first thing we look for in it is the price. And in our minds, we make an instant judgment about that number. Usually, that's a bit more than I was expecting. And the problem is when we communicate price in that way via email, is we've lost control of the entire process, and the chances are that person will then go and look for somebody else who can beat that price. Yeah. And in our profession, somebody else will always beat that price. So firstly, we must have a face-to-face conversation when it comes to pricing. Going on to your real question, has that changed since COVID? And the answer is absolutely it has, because the world changed in 2020, where we are increasingly now in an online world. We're increasingly communicating via webcams using tools like Zoom. It's becoming very common now that we talk to people. And that changes the way that we communicate. As a profession, we've never been that good at communicating in the past anyway. And now things have changed. Now we're doing things online. That changes the way that we communicate. We should still have those price conversations, but a lot of people now find them even scarier to have the price conversation, to do it the right way in a virtual world, than they did face to face. So I think there's increasing temptation just to defer it to an email sending out a proposal, which is a big mistake.
What tips would you give accountants and bookkeepers that are scared of the new ways that we are communicating? They just about managed face-to-face conversations and got to networking events and started attending conferences because they knew they had to do that. But now we appreciate how webcams strip a lot of personality and nuance out of conversations. You talk to them about communication. What do you tell them?
Yeah, if we can increase our confidence, if we can be better, more confident communicating one-to-one with our clients, with potential clients, it actually opens up lots of other opportunities. When we're communicating without the face-to-face meeting, it's scary and we don't necessarily get to see body language. But there are two things that we need to focus on. Number one, the first thing we need to focus on is communication skills. Because when you are talking to somebody face-to-face, you've got their captive attention and they are there in the room. They can't leave early. They can't daydream. They're there. You can see if they start drifting off. And so you've got their attention. In a Zoom call, if you're boring them, it's very easy for them to just think, I'm just check these emails or just check my social media feed. You've lost engagement. You have lost them. Yeah. So we have to keep them engaged. We have to think about the way that we communicate. I remember watching my first YouTube video and I cringe when I see it because I said, hi, I'm Mark Wickersham. I'm a chartered accountant. And today I'm going to talk to you about pricing. And it's boring. People go to sleep. And so we have to learn how to engage people. And it's really simple skills. It takes a bit of practice, but it's things like changing the tone of our voice, changing the pace, getting rid of those filler words, the ers and the ums. And there's some really simple tips and things that we can do to do that. So the first thing is we have to become more confident with the way that we communicate.
Yeah.
The second thing that we've got to do is think about the environment. One of the things we learned from behavioral economists, and this goes back to a study done back in 1983 by the well-known behavioral economist, Richard Thaler. And what he was basically looking at is when you take a product, in this case, beer, does it matter the environment in which you sell it? Does it change people's willingness to pay?
Right.
And what he found very clearly is that the environment in which you sell something changes people's willingness to pay, how much they are willing to pay for the same product. I call it the power of context. How you sell something is so, so important. And in the pre-digital world, the advice I would give is when you're talking to a prospective client or an existing client who you want to sell them the idea of your business advisory service, then the environment makes a big difference. If you meet them in a beautiful room, a beautiful boardroom table, and you serve drinks in China cups with a really nice teapot and fancy tea, and you present to them using, for example, a large screen rather than huddled around a laptop, then what happens is people then start to perceive you as being higher quality and expect to pay a higher price. If conversely, you are meeting them in a small, dimly lit, messy office with your files all over the place and a messy desk, then people will start to think that if you're messy, disorganized, you're probably not as good an accountant, and therefore it's going to be a lower price. And this applies to all sorts of things, the car you drive, the way you dress. And we have to think about that in this virtual world because people are having their Zoom meetings. There are people sat there in front of their window and they're a silhouette looking like they're in witness protection. There are people who are using green screens. I hate green screens because people do it wrong. They move around and their ears disappear because there's this funny halo around them because the green screen's weird and it's distracting and it puts you off because they've got complex backgrounds. They're sat in front of the Eiffel Tower. So people come across very unprofessional, and yet we can fix that really easily just by thinking about the key tools, the quality of the camera or the webcam that we're using, the lighting that we're using, the audio quality, what our background looks like. This is all the power of context, and it might not sound important, but it's incredibly important. When you communicate well and professionally, people will think this is a switched on accountant.
Yeah.
I want to hire these. They will probably be more expensive, but I think they'll be worth it.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, Mark, that when you talk to your clients, opportunities come up out of those conversations. You're talking there about selling additional services like advisory, aren't you? Because if you're not talking to them, you don't know what they need.
Absolutely. A big mistake that firms have always made, and I made this mistake back in when I was running my accounting firm, I thought that success was about getting as many clients as possible.
Right.
And I think that one of the big problems holding accountants back is they have too many clients. We're obsessed with this getting GRF, our gross recurring fees, winning clients at the expense of profitability. And the problem is this. If you're a sole practitioner, for example, example, you have 200 clients. You haven't got the time to talk to them all properly. You're just running yourself into the ground, just doing what you have to do to get the bare minimum done, get the tax returns out the door, sign off the financial statements. You cannot properly serve 200 clients. And yet the firms that I see which are extraordinarily successful, and I know you know some of the same firms as me, they have less clients per partner. They have less clients. Because when you only have 20 or 30 clients, you have the time to go and meet them and talk to them once a month. And time again, I find people tell me that when they meet with their clients frequently, A, they build up the relationship. B, they build up loyalty as a result of that. C, they start to understand the business at a deeper level. And when they do that, they spot opportunity to help, which leads to more valuable services. And so when you meet with your clients more frequently, they end up spending more money with you, and they spend money on those additional things that can be the most profitable things that you do.
Yeah, you bring up such excellent points. When I talk to accounting firms about business development, and generally what they do in that discretionary time where they're not charging fees, they always say, I'm too busy to do business development. I'm too busy to build my network. I'm too busy to raise my profile. I'm too busy to create content. And you would say, well, you're too busy with the wrong kind of work, looking after too many clients.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So what do we do with that? Do they get rid of clients? Do they make some brave, courageous decisions?
One of the most important things firms should get right is the pricing. Most firms are too cheap. They price way too low. They fear that pricing conversation. So the first thing we have to do is put the price up. A mistake that we make is that you need some more fees. You need to make more profit. And so you think, okay, I want to make more profit. I need more clients is the knee-jerk reaction. Yeah. So we go out there to get new clients. And suddenly we get some more clients, and then realize we're crazy busy. We're working too hard. We haven't got time to do the other stuff you've mentioned, the working on our business, the development of our business. And so the next mistake that we make is, okay, I'm too busy. I will hire myself out of the problem. If I hire somebody, all my problems go away. So we hire somebody and we pass on the clients. And then what we find is that we've got an extra mouth to feed. We've got an extra fixed cost. So now we think, I need to find some more clients now to make up for this extra salary cost I've got. So we go out to win more clients and then realize we're even busier before because A, we've got more clients, and B, we're managing somebody and all the problems that come with managing. And this will never go away. You cannot hire your way out of a problem. What firms need to recognize is that if the pricing's wrong, winning more clients will simply compound the problem.
Yeah.
We have to get the pricing right before we even think about winning more clients. And so we have to create the space to do that. As you rightly said, Rob, we need to be spending more time doing development, thinking about our firms. And so the advice I often give, I've had a lot of people say to me, this has been a light bulb moment when I say this, is go to your clients and increase the price. Increase the price by at least 20% on average across your client base. And you might possibly lose 20% of your clients, which by the way, almost never ever happens, and there's reasons for that. But let's just imagine that for a minute. If somebody put their price up by 20% and they lost 20% of their clients as a result of that, then mathematically, top line sales is almost exactly the same number. It's a little bit less, but it's almost the same. And so you end up making the same amount of money, but you're working 4 days a week. What could you do with a day a week if you suddenly had one day that you could work on, whether it's marketing, business development, building your team, systemizing your business? You can do extraordinary things if you could free up a day a week.
Yeah.
And then create the foundations to grow a really profitable business.
It seems so obvious, but people don't do it. What reason might an accountant give for putting their prices up 20% just like that?
Well, firstly, why do we have to give a reason? Because one of the things that happens is something called inflation. Prices go up every year anyway.
Right.
As customers, we know that some things go up and we expect that. We don't need to have it justified to us, but we have this kind of fear that we'll get negative reaction.
Yes.
So we absolutely must put our price up every single year, if for no other reason because of inflation, but actually there are other reasons why we should. And most firms don't. And so what we should be doing is when we put our prices up, we want to make sure that we are delivering huge value. So it may be that what we can do is do something more than we've done before. What else can we do to deliver some more value? But even more important than that is, as a profession, we are not very good at communicating value. I have hundreds of examples of firms who have increased their prices, not because they're doing more, but because they've now figured out a better way to communicate the value. Very often, clients don't know what you're doing for them. The minute you start to tell them in detail what you're doing, why you're doing it, the benefit they get from you doing that thing, suddenly they perceive they're getting more.
Yeah, that's excellent, Mark. You talk a lot about how accountants sell and price, but how has buying behavior changed, if at all, from clients of accounting firms over the years?
I don't think it has. Again, it's one of those things, like an earlier question you asked, it shouldn't change because a lot of the psychology around buying has never changed. Human behaviors don't change. Right. So there's no reason why it should change. One of the things I see, which worries me, it's been a worrying trend for a decade now, is increasingly firms of accountants are putting their prices on a website. And the more that we focus on price, the more we find we end up competing on price. A lot of potential clients, they can go around and shop around online looking at websites and looking for the cheapest. And the more we focus on price, the more we're encouraging our customers, our potential customers, our clients, to also focus on price. And what we have to do is go back to value and communicating value. Why are we different? Why are we better than the firm down the road? And we absolutely should not be putting our prices on our website.
Rob, this is great. If people want to learn more about your Pricing Academy for accountants and bookkeepers and all the other great things that you're doing, what's a good way for them to reach out?
Well, one way to get access to me is just search for Mark Wickersham on LinkedIn. You'll find my profile, connect with me. Whenever somebody connects on LinkedIn and lets me know that they are an accountant or a bookkeeper, so if that's you, just say, saw you on Rob's podcast, then I'll accept the connection and I always send some links to some free resources. One of the things that I do is I have a VIP list of people who I do some training every single month, two or three live sessions. Once a week on a Monday, I send out an email with my upcoming live training sessions, which are open to anybody on my list. And so if you would like to hear more from me and learn about pricing and some of the other things I've talked about, sign up for the list and I will then send out an email once a month inviting you to those live sessions. And when you come to the live sessions, I interact a lot with the audience, so you can ask me questions. If you've got specific things you want me to help you with, just ask. Another thing that you can do is join my Facebook group community. I have a group of 8,500 people at the moment called Value Pricing with Mark Wickersham. So join my Facebook group and I'll happily help people, Rob.
It's great stuff. I've seen a lot of your sessions, Mark, and you truly dive into the nuts and bolts of it all in a really practical, accessible way. Just final question then, Mark. You talked a lot about communicating value. Can you give us two or three of your best tips to help accountants and bookkeepers communicate value a lot more to make the pricing conversations easier?
Sure, yeah. Two tips straight away. Number one, tell them what you do. One of the problems we have is we don't communicate what we do. We assume our clients understand. If we say to a client, we can do your bookkeeping and it's going to cost you $5,000 a year, they'll probably say that's expensive because they don't know what's involved with bookkeeping. And that's our fault because we don't tell people. A practical example of this is many years ago in the 1990s, I used to do a lot of work incorporating businesses, moving their business to a corporate structure.
Yeah.
And I charged crazy low prices in the first few years. And when they said, what will it cost? I said a couple of £100. Usually said that's expensive. And I couldn't work out why, because it wasn't, it was cheap. But what I realized was I didn't tell them what I did. They had no idea. When you just give a price, they look at that number and think that's expensive because I don't understand what I'm getting. So number one is make sure you systematically tell the clients what it is that you're going to do. And then number two is something we learned from marketing. It's called turning features into benefits. People don't buy features, they buy benefits. And what that means we have to do is we have to tell people not just what we do, but why we do it, how it benefits them, how it takes the pain away. For example, if you said, I do bookkeeping, one of the things we'll do as part of that is we'll reconcile your bank account. It's great to start telling them what you do, but there's still features. Nobody gets excited about you reconciling a bank account. What you have to then do is say, well, why do you reconcile the bank account? What's the benefit to the client of doing that? So we have to figure out our scripts. What are the benefits of all the things that we do? And when we take the time to tell our clients, suddenly they go, ah, I see, I understand now. Yes, that sounds really useful. I want that.
Yeah. Mark Wickersham, you're so passionate and insightful about this stuff. It's been great listening to you this week. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Rob. It's been awesome.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.